This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coincidence? Who knows? But no one is more plugged into your Chiefs than Nate Taylor of The Athletic.
I know the Chiefs are probably calling teams to be like, hey, sixth round pick, and I don't know if anybody's going to bite on that sort of trade offer.
And he joins CDOT every Friday at 4, right here on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Very excited to have our next guest in studio for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Nate Taylor of The Athletic joining us on the show today. Nate, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. I've accomplished a couple things this week. I voted early, and the Chiefs made a trade. So hallelujah, we can move forward. I'm ready for the weekend.
Nate, his appearances on the show are now brought to you by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Is there something you need to tell us? Mark Ferguson, Mark Ferguson midseason just picked you up as a sponsor. What's going on here, brother?
I appreciate it. I mean, you know, I don't need anything right now, but you never know. You never know. You know, that's why Mark's, you know, he's got us.
Okay.
It's all good.
I'm just wondering. I didn't know. All of a sudden, Rob came in here. You got a sponsor. I thought it was the other place or Twin Peaks. It's Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Nate, what's going on here? I didn't know what was going on, Nate.
No. We good over here. We good.
All right. I just want to
help everybody else out.
No, that's good. I'm happy to know that. Let's start with this. You obviously know a lot of the inner workings, the behind the scenes. Uh-huh. How did this deal between the Chiefs, Titans, and DeAndre Hopkins, how did this deal come together?
All right. So let me paint a picture. It's Tuesday, and you know, we get a leak, and it's a nice leak. It's like, hey, think about Cooper Kupp with a Kansas City Chiefs jersey on. And you're like, that's not happening. Like, the Rams are not eating money to trade away Cooper Kupp. So, okay, well, what about Carolina? What about, you know, New York? We had talked about those teams for what felt like a couple weeks. Hey, man, they are denying themselves the realities of the NFL season, which is we still want to keep these players around. We still want to see what we got. Now, Deontay Johnson, I guess, is legitimately hurt, which is this Sunday for Bryce Young or anyone for the Carolina Panthers. But obviously, he would be like the biggest name. I think he was the best option. You know, when you're just purely thinking about players who could fit into the system and are obviously, you know, in the prime of their careers, right? So, you know, Tennessee was always a possibility. I wrote about that in my column that, like, hey, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell, like DeAndre Hopkins. Essentially, after the Chiefs went through their due diligence, which they always do this time of year, okay, well, let's go back to Tennessee. We always know that DeAndre Hopkins has been interested in us. We pursued him when he was a free agent in 20s, and of course, he chose the team that gave him the biggest contract, which happens in free agency. Everybody understands that. So he went to the Titans. Titans have now switched quarterbacks. They got a new head coach, a new general manager. Like, not what he nor the Titans have signed up for. And guess what? The Titans were the first team to say, you know what? Yeah, our season's over. So if you want DeAndre Hopkins, we might be interested in something, especially because we gave y'all a third-round pick. We gave you a third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed, so why don't you give us a pick back? It's not going to be as high as the third round. I also think that was an interesting thing, too. Like, I think the Chiefs probably would have given a third-round pick, but if there's another alternative to where you don't have to do that, then okay. Again, let's go through all of our options. DeAndre Hopkins wanted this trade. He was comfortable with the trade, which you always have to keep in mind, too. Even though there's no trade clause, you still want the guy to come in motivated, hungry, you know, and understanding that he's going from a poor organization as of right now to a great one. He gets to go from Mason Rudolph and Will Levis to Patrick Mahomes. It was the easiest thing for the teams to do right now compared to November 4th or November 5th, which is the trade deadline. So they needed somebody, and they're going to rely on DeAndre Hopkins' experience, his strong hands, his route running, him understanding the system and how to play in coverage, in particularly zone coverage, similar to Juju Smith-Schuster, similar to Rashee Rice. And so they essentially agreed to this at like 2 a.m., whatever it was, Wednesday morning. It gets pretty much confirmed at like 4 a.m., and then it gets out at like 5 a.m. So this happened pretty quick once the Chiefs felt like they exhausted all their options Tuesday. You make a move Wednesday. Okay, he's at least experienced enough that he should be able to practice Thursday and Friday and be ready to go. And guess what, Carrington? Here we are. It's a fifth-round pick that you're hoping, you're dreaming is a fourth-round pick because he stays healthy, which is a big issue, a big concern, and you make the Super Bowl. So for people who don't know, DeAndre Hopkins needs to play 60% of the snaps starting Sunday, and the Chiefs need to make the Super Bowl for the pick to go from a conditional fifth round to an actual fourth round pick.
I think there are two different sides of this trade. I think there's the compensation side.
Yes.
I don't know how any Chiefs fan can be mad at what they gave up. They didn't give up a top 100 pick.
Correct.
And they got by far and away the best hands that they had on the team, and maybe the best hands they've had in the organization in the last 20 years or so.
True.
So you have a reliable third down option that's going to get those tough third and six, third and seven,
yes,
and is going to be a contested catch guy, which they do not have any one of those individuals on their roster.
His name is Travis Kelce, and that's it. And you don't want him doing that right now. It's not important for him to be doing that. He should be doing that in January, not October.
So you have that person,
mm-hmm,
and then on the other side, so you have the player side of it. Now, maybe this is me being Debbie Downer, but you do have a player who has played for three teams in 4 years,
yep,
and currently has a knee tear. There's a reason why the Titans were willing to eat half of his deal and was willing to take the 155th pick,
yes,
for DeAndre Hopkins. So, and I think most people are keeping this move in perspective of what it is. To what you said, they needed somebody. Their,
yes,
room was way too thin, and you, mm-hmm, needed somebody that was reliable. I gave this grade a B+. There are a lot of positives about this move, but there was never going to be a perfect option in late October, early November to fix some of your issues. You were going to get Deontay Johnson, who was looking to get paid at the end of the season. You,
correct,
were going to sign Amari Cooper, who has problems catching the football. You were going to sign DeAndre Hopkins, who has been banged up all over the course of the last 4 years.
Yes.
There was no perfect option, but you found a good option at a good price. This is a good trade.
Yeah, and Carolina needs picks. Carolina needs assets. And so that's the one team I can criticize. If New York doesn't want to move Darius Slayton, okay, that's their prerogative, sure. You know, their owner came out earlier this week and said, hey, you know, the duo of general manager and head coach are going to be back next season. Okay, fine. If you want to see how far they can take it, that's cool. I don't understand why Carolina is not intrigued to make a trade, even if you know, you're not going to support your number one draft pick. So if that's the best option and that's not really available, then yes, this is the best you can do. And again, DeAndre Hopkins knows this is his best chance to win a Super Bowl at this stage of his career. And he's already been paid. He's already had the accolades. He even acknowledged that yesterday to us, Carrington. They're like, I've been a pro bowler. I've been an all pro. All right, man, let's go see if I can help Patrick Mahomes win. You know, you only give up a pick that might turn into Noah Gray. That's like the best possible outcome outside of like Puka Nacua, but those don't happen often. But he was a fifth round pick. So yes, it makes all the sense when you take a step back and you look at it, and we both acknowledge they needed somebody to play like this week.
To me, this move was a we'll figure out next year.
Yes.
Move.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Like I would guess, just based on their history, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be on the team in 2025. He's just probably not going to be on the team. You can figure,
yes,
you'll figure out with Hollywood Brown, you'll figure out with DeAndre Hopkins, but you need right now, you need wide receiver help. So they went out and got it.
Yeah. And This also kind of informs you that perhaps Hollywood Brown is going to be back next season, regardless of how this season ends, whether he comes back in December, January for the postseason run or not. You know, he's made it very clear to the organization that he wants to stay, at least for, so you can do another 1 year deal. That's one thought I had this week too, based on this news. Now look, if the Chiefs win a Super Bowl and DeAndre Hopkins is amazing, then yeah, you could give him a 1 year deal. That's, you know, very, you know, team friendly understanding from a, again, a veteran who's, you know, who's not going to be in the league that much longer. And of course this informs you that the Chiefs will once again be taking a receiver in the first three rounds of the draft, whether it's a first round, second round, or obviously the two third round picks. Carrington, I looked this up today. With DeAndre Hopkins being the choice that you made, with not getting like someone like Deontay Johnson and adding a 2 year extension on to his deal, right, to create cap space, they only have three receivers on their cap sheet for 2025. It's Xavier Worthy, obviously, Rashee Rice, obviously on his rookie contract, and Sky Moore. That's it. So to your point, this is a fix for this year, and then you will continue to try to add and improve the receiving core in free agency and in the draft next year.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. There are a lot of questions that I have related to this move. We saw the Chiefs do a restructure earlier today. What does that mean? Are they done at wide receiver? And I also want to ask how you go from never being on the injury report to all of a sudden needing surgery. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rob, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I am being dead serious. If we can get a hold of the person who does the Dick Ray commercials to do a jingle for the show,
fire.
I'll give you a bonus.
Fire in the booth.
Can we get a hold of him? If anybody has his information. He said he was David Blaine of the sewer. That's what he said. That's what he said in the commercial break. That's what he said. He said he was the Chris Angel of the pipes. So, Rob, I'm telling you right now, you know I'm good for it. I will get you a $250 gift card to any store in Kansas City if you get that guy to do a jingle
please,
for this show.
Please, Rob.
100%. That's the best one. He's had some hits before. He's had some incredible albums. That most recent one, though, that's my favorite one. Dick Ray, call. I don't know what you got going on at your house, but if you got something going on, Dick Ray, he'll fix your air conditioning, your sewer. Shout out to Dick Ray.
Get in them pipes, baby.
Yeah, that's what we do. Dick Ray's the best. Nate Taylor is here. His appearances are presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of it. He is your legal magician. So we have a lot of magicians. We have a lot of magicians on this show. All right, Nate, I don't think I'll ever ask you a question about the Raiders. I don't really want to talk to you about the Raiders. They stink. We know
they're bad. Yeah, they bad.
All right, let's get this out of the way.
Okay.
Now, I follow the injury report. Sky Moore has never been on the injury report. Sky Moore was a full participant in practice on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
They then make a trade. Now he's having surgery and he's out for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Hey,
this is what I think happened.
Okay. Yes. Please tell me your theory.
This is what I think happened. I think that Sky Moore was having fun in the locker room. And I think that Brett Veach was like, hey, can I talk to you real quick? And I think they went off to the side and I think he's, you know, hey, boss, how's it going, man? Things going good.
hey, you know, we made some recent changes. Yeah, man, I'm excited to learn from DeAndre Hopkins. I'm excited to learn something from him. Hey, the thing is, though, we're going to need that roster spot. You mean my roster spot? Yeah, man. You know, hey, we're not cutting you. We're not letting you go. We just need that roster spot. Well, what are you guys going to do? Hey, what's been bothering you? Well, I kind of have been. Don't tell us. We'll take care of it. Take care of it. That's what I think happened. That's what I think happened to Sky Moore.
Oh, no. The don't tell us. We'll take it from here.
Yeah, it just sounds suspicious. That's what it does. It just sounds suspicious. I know I'm not crazy. He has not been hurt. Now he's hurt. It's odd.
Yeah. Here's the best spin I could put on it, okay? Here's the best spin. Sky Moore's a real one. He is a soldier. He going to do what he's told. He going to take that order. He going to get it right, you know? Now, are there some bad parts of the operation? Sure, you know?
This is the analogy I made for the people that follow college sports. This was, we need a scholarship to open up, and they figured out a way to open up a scholarship.
You know what? Grad assistant, whenever you want it. Whatever you want it. Come on through. Stay in town. Yeah. Yeah, stay. You can learn from coach. Who knows? You can stay in this game longer than you can play in it. Yeah, man. Hey, you know, he a real one. He a real one. See that? You know, he just said, "No, I'll do what's best for the team. I'll take the hit."
Do you think Scott Moore plays again this season for the Chiefs? You think he's done? You think he's done this season?
Dunzo. He might be done. I feel bad seeing this, y'all, but one of the funniest parts. And I truly mean this, Carrington. One of the funniest parts about last Sunday's game in Santa Clara, Pat's like, one, all right, he ain't there. Two, he ain't there. Oh, okay, I see somebody flashing across my face. And he's open. And then Kyle Shanahan was like, hell no, that's Scott Moore. I gotta get my challenge flag. And then the replay assist was like, don't you worry, we'll take it from here. The refs will say, hey, dog, I can really help you with the face mask last night, but what I can help you with is that is an incompletion because the stats have told me Sky Moore ain't caught a pass all year, and that ball clearly hit the ground. Carrington, that might be the last game he plays as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs because it is financially better for them to cut him than to keep him. Next year, based on his contract, they will gain more money.
Oh, he's certainly not on the team next year. Then,
so
if we got to that point where they're no longer upside down, so to speak, then nope. Now it is now better for him to not be on the team than on the team. Then, yeah, no, he is probably not coming back.
And I know some people might be listening right now saying, "Well, Nate, why didn't they cut him? Because hey, dog, we ain't got no cap space. we don't want to eat the dead money right now. When the new league year starts and we have a bunch of money." I mean, I think I wrote it yesterday. They can cut him for like less than $500,000. That's your dead cap here.
Yeah, that's why I knew to ask you. All right, So you're saying we think Scott Moore's done? Is this the last Scott Moore topic we will ever have on this show?
It very well might be, unless something drastically changes. Well, I just don't see.
Looking at their wide receiver room and the injury, something drastic could happen with this team in the next 8 weeks.
Very true, but until then,
I will say this: if it gets to the point that you need Scott Moore in November, December, the injury bug is just. Chiefs might not have it this year.
Right when they call you and say, hey, how you feeling after the surgery? Andy Reid said he gonna need to get it fixed. Coach, what is he fixing? No, the core muscle. That coach, that could mean anything. Now you gotta get that fixed. So you're telling me in 6 weeks they're gonna call Sky Moore and be like, hey man, think you can run some routes after we fix your core muscle?
No, probably not. All right, this is the next thing that I want to get your opinion about, and it's cap space related.
Okay.
The Chiefs earlier today announced a restructure for Juwan Taylor. I looked at his contract. He was going to be on the team next year anyway. Yes. He got guaranteed $19.5 million for being on the roster this year. So there was no scenario in which they were moving away from Juwan Taylor. What can you tell us about the restructure, and is this a signal that the Chiefs are making another move?
It gives them the ability to be in the mix if they do want to make another move. And so that's why you do it today. And to your point, if you're like, hey, man, if he could just cut down on some of the penalties, he probably going to be on the team next year. Or, you know, so and I want to remind people, too, they did this with Joe Tooney last year, year and a half ago. I think it was last year that they did a similar deal where they moved some money around, cut him a check, and basically said, like, yeah, you'll be on the team next year. Now, what was unfortunate was that he got, he had the pectoral injury against the Buffalo Bills in the playoff game, and so then he missed the championship game in the Super Bowl. But obviously, Joe Tooney came back. His rehab went well. He hadn't missed a beat. So they kind of, they kind of had a precedent for doing this before. They did it with Juwan. It pretty much assures that Juwan probably will be on the team next year, barring something crazy happening. It gives you a little bit of pocket change if you do want to make another move. If something does happen between, now and the Raiders game, or even next week against the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football, if there's somebody who's available for a seventh round pick or a little pick swap, but you got to make sure you got like enough cap space to take on their contract, preferably somebody with a rookie deal, then you could do that. But it's just simple math. And when they call Juwan or his agent and they say, hey, how much? Like, yeah. Well, we just cut the check today. You sign it tomorrow. It's in your bank account. And so that's essentially what they did. It's just moving some money around, but I do think they will be minor players from now until the deadline if something comes up that they feel like they can be in the mix.
This feels like a team to me that is going to do a pick swap in the next 10 days. That they're going to take their sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
Going to get a player back, and they're going to take your seventh-round pick. So you move up, you get rid of a player that you don't want on your roster anymore, and you move up 41 spots in the draft. That's what it feels like is about to happen with the Chiefs.
Yes, sir. I think you are on to something, because more teams, and this is the difficult part about Tuesday, right? As I was walking through the situation, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, was that teams still want data points. They still want, hey, we still got 2 weeks before the deadline. We don't have to make a move where you feel like you have to make a move because we need somebody to give us some stability on offense after another injury and the fact that Juju's not going to be available against the Raiders. So in 2 weeks' time, you have more information. Hey, maybe this guy not going to be a part of your plan moving forward. He's a little disgruntled. Hey, you can get a pick for him now versus letting him walk later. It makes perfect sense.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic, going through some of the top storylines right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we had this topic yesterday. Let's say that you are asleep and you wake up and you get a notification on your phone that the Chiefs have made a trade. Is it more likely that that trade is for a wide receiver or a cornerback now with the injury with Jalen Watson?
There are more receivers available, I believe, right now than cornerbacks. But I want to say cornerback? Now, they haven't really made a lot of trades for a cornerback in the Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Merritt era. Dave Merritt is the, cornerback secondaries coach. I don't know if they can do a ton at wide receiver other than a pick swap and something else happening in 2 weeks. But as of right now, I guess I'd give the slight favorite to cornerback because that's, as of right now, potentially the only hole on defense. There are no – one of the best things about this year for the Chiefs is all these guys have been in the system for 3 years or longer, dating back to the 2022 draft, and there are no weaknesses. Like, you can't run on the Chiefs anymore. They have Mike Pinnell. They have Chris Jones. What's going to happen at the second cornerback spot with Trent McDuffie? We had concerns about that all throughout training camp in the preseason. Well, Jalen Watson was playing amazing to being your number two corner, and it helped fill out everything else for the secondary. So with him being out and you not knowing who's starting, the Chiefs are not going to give that information away. I don't really have a great indicator. Maybe it's Nazee Johnson based on snap count and what they've asked of him so far this season. But again, they haven't, I don't know that to be certain. But
there's this Christian Roland Wallace kid, because he just kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't know who he was until he got the interception. I had no clue who he was. He was one of those guys that whenever they make a play in training camp, you got to grab that sheet. Like, what number is he? Like, oh man, that was a good play.
Chris Roland Wallace was literally the last guy who made the 53-man roster. Literally. So we didn't really interview him much during the preseason. I kind of knew what he looked like from a facial recognition standpoint. And then it was like, hey, it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, I know that guy. Like, he's somewhat familiar. And I'm literally doing the same thing in the locker room after the game. Like, yeah, yeah, let's talk about your interception. How about that, man? So it was a curious case where he was good on special teams. He is an undrafted rookie. So he grinded, you know, without the same sort of notoriety as Carson Steele. I would like to remind people that undrafted rookies are the cheapest of the cheap, kids, if you're trying to, you know, squeeze every penny. And they like chose him over over a couple veterans that they had sort of brought in just on like a tryout kick the tire situation. So I'm not saying he's going to play a ton against the Raiders, but at least, you know, hey, if he's thrust into a situation, if he has to cover somebody and the quarterback throw the ball where it ain't supposed to be, he can make a play on the ball. Like, hey, he recognized it was a mistake, saw where he was next to the sideline, made a nice catch, got 2 feet in. Hey, that's a professional play, young man. So, you know, his development is supposed to be slower than usual because he was only supposed to be a special teams guy, and maybe he'd be active on game day. Maybe he wouldn't be. But right now he's going to be in uniform. And if Nazi Johnson doesn't take reins of the starting job, then that leaves the door for Chris Roland Wallace or Joshua Williams.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor. I'll give you a toss-up question. I have a couple of these over the course of the next 30 minutes or so. Who has more yards receiving the rest of the way, Travis Kelce or DeAndre Hopkins?
Why you do this to me? Because on one end, I guess I'm going to trust Travis Kelce. That's what I'm going to do. Keep it simple, Nate. I'm going to trust Travis Kelce. He's been in the system the longest. He is still getting open, as we've talked about before.
I asked that question because if they are telling me that DeAndre Hopkins is going to play the Rashee Rice, Juju Smith-Schuster role, he is going to have more yards than Travis Kelce.
But here's the thing, and this is the only downside to the trade. Can you just stay healthy? Can you please stay healthy for the next, whatever, 11 games, 10 games? Really, they need to be great for the next, like, go 8-2 over the next 10-game stretch, and you have the one seed. I think Chiefs fans need to really start to understand that. Like, you already have a 2-game lead on everybody. You should absolutely torch the Raiders on Sunday. So now, can we go 8-2 and that be the first one? And, you know, if we just wipe the division for 5 games, because the last game is against Denver on the road, then that game doesn't matter. We the one seed. And DeAndre Hopkins gave us a nice 10-game sample that we know exactly how to use.
You can then rest D-Hop for 2 weeks. You can rest Travis Kelce for two weeks. And I mean, we saw last year, I mean, that rest for Travis Kelce at the end of the season was the most important thing that they could have done.
Yes. So I think at some point, Patrick's going to go back to Travis more. It's been a little bit tricky, but I would assume that DeAndre Hopkins should help Travis Kelce in coverage, you know, vice versa. But I'll trust a guy who's been in the system, who's obviously going into the Hall of Fame. DeAndre Hopkins is an interesting Hall of Fame case. I don't know if you talked about that.
We talked about it. You know we did.
What's your thoughts? Is he?
I lean no.
It's real
the
close.
The text line was leaning yes.
It's really close.
I wouldn't vote for Mike Evans. So if I'm not voting for Mike Evans, I'm not voting for DeAndre Hopkins.
How
are you
not voting for Mike Evans when he already, like, I know he just got hurt.
I understand that Mike Evans is probably going to get in. DeAndre Hopkins to me is a very interesting point.
It is.
And the only reason I was arguing against the DeAndre Hopkins thing is, I mean, Torrey Holt hasn't got into the Hall of Fame.
That's crazy.
And I'm just saying, if it's been difficult for Torrey Holt to get into the Hall of Fame,
yes,
we cannot say that DeAndre Hopkins is now. Rob thinks he's already in. Rob thinks he's in right now.
Lock.
Okay,
he's a lock.
Rob considers him to be a lock.
What's your argument?
I mean, he is.
Or your angle.
He's a 4-5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro?
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty good starting off point right there.
Correct.
He led the NFL in receiving in 15 when he had 1,500 yards. That's also
pretty
great.
Good. Yeah,
also,
pretty
I
good.
Compared him to Julio Jones, where he has more touchdowns and receptions already than Julio Jones, and he still has more time left. And I have Julio in. So
and
I
Julio,
in.
I would say, look, man.
Julio was better than DeAndre Hopkins was, in my opinion. True. Julio also was first team all decade. And that's a big deciding factor.
By the way, the further we get away from this, Matt Ryan, congratulations. Great career. Kyle Shanahan, amazing coach. Man, Julio Jones was out of offense. I mean, he was amazing.
And really quick, and my biggest point on all of this when it comes to these guys is because we live in such an offensive era.
Yes.
Like
there are some guys that we're not going to have to debate or not. Like, we're not going to have this conversation in 10 years about Justin Jefferson. Like, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Let's put him in.
Right.
But because there are so many guys that are going to put up numbers for a long period of time that I think they're going to be comparable, like, are we going to be arguing in 7 years if Jalen Waddle is a Hall of Famer or Devontae Smith, guys who have been very, very productive that could have 6 or 7 1,000-yard seasons? Are we going to argue that those guys are Hall of Famers? Because historically, those guys have always been Hall of Famers.
Yes.
I'm not sure just because you were a Hall of Famer in 1992 with that level of production, I'm not sure if in 2027 or whatnot, I'm not sure if those same qualifications make you a Hall of Famer. So I think we're just arguing off a standard that just shouldn't exist anymore. Where a guy like Phillip Rivers, and I argued it for the longest time, and Rob was like, when did it change? It changed for me when we started arguing Matthew Stafford was a Hall of Famer. We watched Matthew Stafford every year in November for 15 years and never thought he was a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He had one good postseason. Now he's a Hall of Famer? No, he's not.
I'm not sure on Matthew Stafford, even though he's a very talented player, but I don't know if I could. I mean, Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl, guys. That can't be the one like declaration to get you in. We are in an offensive era, and I love to think back to like the mid-2000s, early 2000s. That like, okay, that was kind of when numbers started to really pop, and so you can kind of make a demarcation at that moment in the era of football. But DeAndre Hopkins is an amazing talent, Hall of Fame level talent. But he's right on the border. I would say Julio Jones is a lock.
I agree.
I cannot say the same right now about DeAndre Hopkins. Now, if he balls out next 10 games and then has an amazing postseason, maybe
he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Maybe catches a Super Bowl, catches a Super Bowl touchdown, Chiefs win, unprecedented third straight Super Bowl. We could always say he was a clear reason why they got over the hurdle. Then his argument, his case gets much more, solidified. And you can sort of, you have more ammunition to argue with when you get to those like meetings. What's crazy to me is if Torrey Holt's not in the Hall of Fame, then that means someone like DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a part of the like senior committee at some point where you're like 50 years from now, you're going to be like, how is DeAndre Hopkins not in the Hall of Fame? But then you look back, man, there was so many good receivers. Tyreek Hill's going in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, I think Justin Jefferson, based on just talent and obviously consistency, is going into the Hall of Fame. There's only like two or three, maybe four guys out of position in like half a decade that should go into the Hall of Fame. Mike Evans, numbers, touchdowns, consistency. Sad he got hurt, but like he's going in. Same with Julio Jones. So it's harder than people realize, but I do think this part of DeAndre Hopkins' career, where he's about to start this next chapter, is wildly fascinating because it could go a couple of ways, and he can really be a difference maker if he stays healthy and obviously plays to his talent.
I have a theory I want to run by you coming up on the other side, and I told my story my first Vegas trip, and Rob told his. You've been to Vegas a couple of times. Oh, no. I want to hear your that's a place that you've been to now five or six times. We want to hear your story next. No. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Someone on the text line asked a really, really good question. Nate, do you think that the Chiefs will monitor DeAndre Hopkins' snaps to make sure that he is below 60%? So I pulled up the snap counts during the commercial break because I was genuinely curious. So Xavier Worthy has played in 63% of their snaps. Justin Watson has played in 58. Juju is a little under 40. So is Rashee Rice. But obviously we know the injury, so that is why his number is so low. I think they can do it and not purposely manipulate it, but they don't really have a whole lot of options. So you would just think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be on the field a lot if he is healthy. Like, if you're telling me D-Hop is not on the field over the course of the next 10 weeks, then what other 2-3 receivers are you putting in those scenarios if it's not him? So I actually think it's probably going to be a little difficult to try to keep him at 58% so you don't have that automatic trigger to get it to that fourth round pick. I just don't think they have enough other options in order to make it work.
To answer the question, they should try to get away with it, right? They should try to continue to win games, but make sure he's at that Justin Watson 58, 59, 55% snap count.
You know, this season's a little wonky because the Titans, again, are bad. And he did have, you know, the knee injury during training camp. So he's only played 47% of the Titan snaps. Now, given the, you know, the importance of him following the trade, he will likely play more than that, I would assume, for the Chiefs. Now, I'm looking at his career logs. Yeah, I mean, he don't really come off the field. 72% when he had, over 1,000 yards last year. 88%, 83, 92, 97, 99, 98, 97, 97, 95. He a workhorse. Hey, give, you know, mad respect to DeAndre Hopkins, just looking at his overall snap count, given the, you know, the responsibility he has for the offense and the fact that he, you know, can give you touchdowns, be a nice red zone target. And yeah, he usually gives you about 1,000 yards per season. So they should try. Now, if Juju Smith-Schuster comes back, if Hollywood Brown comes back, and like, let's say he plays 2 or 3 games, maybe you can get away with it. But I think that was why the negotiation took a little longer, even though they had agreed to the trade. I think, you know, language is always interesting. Like, it came out, you know, early that morning, Wednesday, they've agreed to it, but it's not official and it's not fully complete. Well, I think part of the conditions for that pick is, hey, what are going to be the determinations for it? You know, hey, maybe he plays 80% of the snaps, but we don't make the Super Bowl. And so those are the back and forth arguments you're having on top of the negotiation of, hey, man, we need y'all to eat some of this money, and how much are the Titans willing to eat, and how much does that play involved with the pick, and whether it's, you know, the condition it is right now, or it elevates to a fourth round pick. So based on his history, he probably going to play more than 60% of the snaps for the Chiefs. And then the question will become, will they make the Super Bowl or not?
Was there any conversation in the locker room about the puppet
this week?
Yeah. Did it come up with anybody you talked to?
No. Mm-mm. No. But everybody understands what's about to take place. Like, I can't imagine the amount of zero blitzes, the amount of trick plays. I think the Chiefs are trying. They're going to try to play action, open it up, throw it over the top of the Raiders' heads. Good luck, guys. It's bad. I will always remember though that it was George Karloftis that was talking with Alex and Cody, right, after one of the practices. This might have been the day that the video. It might have been the day after the video came out, because you know, obviously the Chiefs practice early in the day. And based on logistics, the Raiders practiced later that day, and then the video came out after their practice and the encouragement of the fans for you. You know, you don't have to put the puppet in your hand. Okay, all right, your prerogative, my guy. He's also a rookie. Give him slack. They're not going to.
It tells me everything I needed to know about this was how quickly the other Raiders started to apologize.
Yep. Yeah,
all of them.
Yes. The coach was like, it's been handled.
Like, everybody over there, like,
Antonio Pierce was like, no, it's been handled.
It reminded me of a Jordan story. There's the one story, and you probably have seen it before, uh-huh, where J.R. Ryder tells the story of how Kevin Garnett was talking trash to Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And he just got Mike all fired up, and then Mike just was Michael Jordan after that story. That's what the story reminded me of. Like, I made the analogy to Rob Rose. Rob could be wrong about something, but I'm going to ride with Rob because we on the same show. You my boy. I'm going to ride with you.
Yeah.
If I publicly come out and say, hey, Rob, that ain't got nothing to do with me. You know you messed up. You know you messed up.
Right. And
your head show business. Coach came out here and was like, hey, we don't condone this as the Las Vegas Raiders. We got nothing but respect for that man. That's how you know you messed up. You did something wrong.
Right. So, again, the day after this video gets put out, George Karloftis was on with Cody and Alex and basically said, oh, yeah, we know the dates. The dates of the game? Dog, it's like early August, and it's miserable. It's training camp. It's supposed to be hard. He's like, no, we ain't going to forget. No, we know it. October 27th. It's like, okay.
I told him earlier, I said, if you're Andy.
He don't even play on offense, yeah, Carrington.
You only got to show the team two things this week. I go on YouTube and I show them the highlights of the last time that you played this team.
Yep.
It was bad.
It was real bad.
It was bad.
It was embarrassing.
And I would show them that 15-second clip of that player disrespecting you guys' quarterback. You don't got to say anything else. You don't have to give some motivational speech.
Hell no.
I want to show you the last time you played this team and how embarrassing you guys were, and we are not going to let them do that to us again.
And we coming in the day house, and we're just, hey, no breaks. Like, you know, hey, sometimes you get up 20. Hey, hell, sometimes Andy gets up 10, and he's like, put the plays away. Put the real plays away. Let's just manage the clock. You know, work on some things here and there that might be useful later in the season. I don't know, man. They might be up 17. They still asking Pat to sling it 25 yards down the field.
This definitely has, I think it was against the Raiders. They did that little ring around the rosy play. This game has that kind of energy.
Oh, for
sure. This has trick play in the red zone. We want you guys to know about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Pat either throws a touchdown or runs it in and makes a clear reference that everybody knows. I heard what you guys said. Don't ever do that again.
Yep. And, you know, it's a real rivalry, guys. I mean, give credit to Antonio Pierce. The viability of his job was on the line Christmas Day, and he got those dudes hyped to play for him. So he deserves a ton of credit, and the rivalry's back on. Like, it's great. Like, hey, everybody remembers what happens on Christmas Day. Hey, you get to be the team that says we were the last team to beat the champs. That's true. And now the champ's coming into your house, and it's not going to be pretty, man. They're so bad. I get the sense, too, that Andy Reid, one of the best photos, if you can find it, is when the Raiders came here. This was, 2015, 2016? Andy Reid got that stare down of Jack Del Rio and said, okay, you thought we were soft out here in the streets. God, what is he going to do to Antonio Pierce in the middle of the field after this game?
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show today. He is about to go to Vegas for Chiefs and Raiders. The last time you were there, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, man. I'm sure this is going to be a great trip.
Yes, this is an NFL.com headline. Jack Del Rio in 2016, quote, nothing personal between me and Andy Reid. Sure, Jack. That's not how Andy Reid felt that day.
Yeah, no, that is definitely not it. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top story of the day. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.